We worry about Washington, D.C. Some people worry about it way too much. I do a lot of praying, lots of praying, more than I ever have. But we read the paper, and some people go crazy, the government shutting down, that kind of stuff, go nuts, and can't sleep, getting ulcers and all that. Don't worry about all that stuff. It's going to take care of itself. But what Grant said was, what's really important in our country is not what's happening in Washington, D.C., what's happening in your homes. You're faithfully husband and wife living as they should, loving each other, raising their kids where the grassroots are. That's what's important. And it's more than just important because it's grassroots stuff. It's also important. It has spiritual significance. So your life is worth more than you think it is. Let me prove it to you. Jesus Christ told them down at Sodom, he told this to Lot, if there are 10 righteous in the city, I'll spread the city for their sake. So your life is significant even on the surface of what's going on, but it's much more significant on a spiritual level. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Your life, so get out of bed, have some energy, do what you can. I'll fix to read you the scripture with all your might. Kids, when you're going to school, you study with all your might. You put your mind, God get your mind trained for something. When your days are working and mamas, do everything you possibly can do with all your might, joyfully, because you're really working for God. I used to work at Sears. I worked my way through college working at Sears. And I had to punch a time clock. And one day it came to me and it made me feel real good. Really, I'm not punching this time clock for Sears. I'm punching it for God. And God says that about employees. You are work as you're working to the Lord. Because really, ultimately, you are working for the Lord. So whatever you're supposed to be doing this next week, do it. Okay? Do it with energy. Even if your boss doesn't like it, so what? God's your real boss. You're not doing eye service as men pleaders, as a servant of God, the will of God in the heart. Randy, you lead those kids over there, and you do it to God. You may get frustrated sometimes, you do it for God. That's the truth. I'm not an inspirational speaker. I'm a preacher. So I'm not giving you just a bill of goods and say, you know, I hope you feel good until you get out of here. You keep on feeling good because what you're doing counts for God Almighty. He got ready for you to live on this old earth. He makes you think you're worn out and old and not worth any more things. You're worth something or God would take you home. You maybe ought to be a prayer warrior, and when you get weak and feeble at the end, you may be doing the best work you've ever done because you really know how to pray and you have to depend on God all the way. You hear that, kids? Do the best you can in everything you're doing. One man said, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to live. That's what you ought to do. I used to live in Clinton, Kentucky. Had an old guy, a pastor named Curtis Cannon. Never would go to Curtis Cannon. He had a character. He had a stroke. I went up to see him in the hospital up in the in Paducah, Kentucky. And he had a bad stroke, but he overcame it. So he started driving a car. And so somebody said, Curtis, aren't you afraid to drive that car? Aren't you afraid to have another stroke? He said, buddy, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to live. And that's what you ought to be doing. For God. Teaching school for God right there. Been a mama for God. All right, let me read the scripture. Over in Colossians 3:23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. That'll motivate you. That'll motivate you. When we get to glory, we're going to find the people that the world wouldn't even look at twice, the ones that God is going to be commending and not the rich and the famous. Now, when we do give of ourselves and our money, I'm not just talking about money, but I'm talking about just everything, ourselves. See, to whom much is given, much is required. You got a mind, God gave you that mind. You got health, God gave you that health. While you're young, you got youth, use the youth right. You got an education, God gave you that education for a reason. Not to be selfish. God doesn't want any of us to be selfish. He wants to be giving. So, let me show you when we do give of ourselves and of our resources, what does God think about that? He said over here in the 18th verse, a sweet-smelling savour to God. It's like the offer of incense. This sweet smell comes up before God. He smiles because he likes that. Now, let's read over Genesis 8, 20 and 21. And Noah built an ark, I mean an offer to the Lord. First thing he did, he got that ark. And took of every clean beast, of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. I'm not going to read the rest of that verse. He promised I won't destroy the world anymore by water. The Lord smelled a sweet savour when Noah offered the sacrifice to God. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Ephesians 5, verse 2. You want to please God? Have a giving heart. Have a generous heart. Have a serving heart like Jesus Christ had. while he's here on this earth. Young people, don't let this be a selfish time. We love our young people. We pay attention to our young people, rightly so. But we don't worship our young people. No way you get big till you start giving. Don't be selfish. We all tend to be selfish by nature. Be a giving individual. That's a happy individual. That's a God-pleasing individual. And do it heartily with all your might. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, has given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for sweet-smelling savor. What Jesus Christ did when he sacrificed himself is a sweet-smelling savor to God. We need to emulate him. Look over Revelation. This is our prayers coming before God. You know your prayers come before God? Revelation 5:8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, these are sweet smelling odors, which are the prayers of the saints. I love it at Grace Chapel when we pray. I love to hear our brethren pray. I love it. I'm amazed at sometimes how you pray. The stuff that comes out of your mouth amazes me. I'm in awe sometimes about people that you don't even know how well you are praying sometimes. And if you feel like, well, my tongue is tied, I can't pray eloquently, you may be doing the most eloquent praying of all. Because God doesn't only take our verbal prayers, the groanings of our heart. Romans 8 says that, the groanings of our heart. He accepts those prayers. So you may be more articulate than somebody you think can pray a pretty prayer. So get in there and groan before God in front of you. It's a sweet smelling savor to God Almighty. I like to think that every time we meet here, if I could see the spirit world, there'd be a big old golden cloud coming out of this place. As God is pleased with our sacrifices and offerings. You know where we are? We're priests to Almighty God. I'll read you the scripture. Look at this. 1 Peter 2:5. Somebody mentioned, I think, maybe it's Matt, somebody in their prayer, we're lively stones. We're living stones. Every child of God in the Church of Jesus Christ is a living stone. We're not just, you know, if you have a, I could have a, let's just say, here's a house over here, made out of stones. And there's just a pile of stone over here. What's the difference? The pile of stones, my friend, doesn't do anybody good. But you put those stones together the right way, you get your house. And God Almighty, by the Holy Ghost, forms his people into a house where they meet together to praise his holy name. It's very significant what we're doing today. 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also, as lively stones, living stones, are built up a spiritual house. That's what we are, a spiritual house. Not this building here. We're a spiritual house. If we ever get a grip on that, it revolutionizes our worship. I do believe you believe that to some extent. Like I told before, I'd like to thank God for the fact, my friend, you probably wouldn't get too upset if I let you have the whole hour to just sing. But preaching is necessary. But I love the other people here. We want to keep on calling those songs out to praise Almighty God. We got something to praise God for. If we ever get to the point where we don't want to sing, I'm going to be real worried about this situation. And by the way, do some singing at home, too. Do some singing by yourself. Make melody in your heart to God Almighty. Let that be a way of life. He deserves our praise. You all such lively stones are built in a spiritual house and holy priesthood. You're priests with God Almighty, women and men both. Children of God. Priest. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. All right, now we're going to verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need. And I'm going to spend some time with my God. Go to Psalm 18. I had to experience this one time. I love these experiences. It's fun to look back at experiences in life. You need to remember experiences that God gives you. If you even have to write them down. A lot of that I had never had written down. But there's some just great evergreen spots in my life. I had an evergreen spot one time. I was memorizing Romans. I never got through Romans. I only memorized chapter 1 and chapter 8 and some isolated verses. I ought to, should have memorized the whole chapter, the whole book. If you get thought out, some of you guys can do it right now and get the whole book. Y'all do it. I wouldn't take anything from chapter 1 and chapter 8. But when I'm reading over there in Romans 1, I came across the expression of my God. My God. And a commentator pointed me to Psalm 18. That's a sweet memory of the hell. Let me show you this. Talk about how God, my friend, is such a personal God. Every word in the Bible is important. Every word, even the word "my," is so important. How personal is God to you? Is he some abstraction in the third person, he? Let him be second person. You. Thou. Not third person, kind of impersonal, personal. That's what Christianity is all about. It's doctrine, but it's a doctrine wrapped around a person. Have you walked with him this week in fellowship? Well, get on it if you haven't. Get close to him. Talk to him. Draw nigh to him. He will draw nigh to you. We speak to him. He speaks to us. Look at this wonderful personal relationship here in Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. Amazing, amazing. I got them underlined, the word "my" in my Bible. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Isn't that great? And so Paul said in this verse, my God shall supply all your need according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I think that is absolutely beautiful. All right, now, I'm going to show you how generous God is. The topic is, this is all foundation. And now let's start preaching, okay? This is foundation. We serve a generous God. He's always been a generous God from the very start. In the Garden of Eden, he told Adam and Eve of every tree of the garden. Now, what's the next word? Freely eat. You got that? Of every tree of the garden, thou must freely eat. For the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. And the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Our God has always been and is a generous God. He's not stingy. And he will supply our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I just read it to you from Philippians 4:19. Let's look at a few verses that talk about the great generosity of our wonderful Lord. Look over in James 1:17. Well, I think I'm going to go another verse in James first, though. I think I'll go somewhere else in James. Let's go there first to verse chapter 1. To show the generosity of our great God. James chapter 1. I just love verse 5 here. This is wonderful. You need wisdom? I need it. I need it badly. Verse 5, 1-5. And I'm going to read on down through verse 7 because there's a way we need to ask in faith. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He gives to all men, what's the next word? Liberally. And upbraideth not, it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth, like a wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. No, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he should be anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is not that in all of his ways. Let's not be double-minded. But isn't that great? He said, I won't give you a little bit of wisdom, I'm going to give you a bunch of wisdom. He's that way on everything, not just on wisdom. Now, let's go to further in James, down to verse 17. Every good gift, every perfect gift, comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights, whom is no shadow, who is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Generous God, cannot give him. You cannot outgive God. And let's go to Romans 8:32. I always say this is my favorite verse. I got a bunch of favorite verses. This is one of my very favorite verses. I got some favorite verses, some very favorite verses, some very, very favorite verses. This is a powerhouse. Romans 8:32. He didn't spare not his own son. He didn't spare his own son. His own son. He didn't spare not his own son, but delivered him up for us all his children. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's a powerful verse. If that's the only verse you memorize this week, that's easy to memorize. Chew on that one. You memorize it this week. So I can make you memorize this week. 8:32. He that spared not his own son, delivered him up for us all. That's proof of his generosity. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he gave us Jesus Christ, everything else is what Kevin posted, is everything else is just gravy. The main blessing, his precious son, he proved his generosity, my friends. Anything you really need, you're going to have it. Now, sometimes one of his gifts is to withhold something from us. Maybe it won't be good for us. I had a wonderful daddy. I had such a great daddy. I'm going to see him again on these days. I can't wait. I had a daddy. I tell you what, a good mama too. God's so good to me. And my daddy wanted to make more money. He did okay, but he wanted to make a lot more money. So one time he even quit his job and went up north to try to sell some stuff he had written to some big syndicates in Chicago and New York City, places like that. And it didn't make it. I think it should have made it. It was a lot better stuff than the stuff I read today. I still got some of it. But anyway, it didn't work. And my mama was a wise woman. She said, you know, God was in that. She said, your daddy is a generous-hearted man. She said, he's too generous-hearted. She said, well, if he had hit big, he'd have spoiled you boys and ruined you. He would have, too. I've probably been driving a great big old fancy car, and I probably would have been worth shooting. I almost wasn't worth shooting anyway. But I tell you, my mama was wise. So if you don't have something, maybe God may be a gift. He may be a gift. He knows what you need. He knows what you need. We need to pray that prayer over a proverb. Lord, don't let me have too much. Don't let me have too little. Let me have food convenient for me. That's food and raiment, isn't it? So, and our economy may go belly up. So what? I mean, I don't want it to. I love anything that's luxury. And we're all rich anyway right here in our country. But don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. Sometimes that's a gift that God withholds something from us. Chastisement is a great gift of God. We might be lifted up in pride. So, see, the brothers, we have realized, and sisters, the most important, we fixate on material things. I do. We want a car. We want a house. We want good clothes. We want good food. We want a retirement plan. We want money in the bank. We want all that. But I'm telling you, those are not, by any stretch of the imagination, the most important things in life. There are a lot of rich people who are miserable, and their eternity will be miserable too. If you know Jesus Christ, you love the Word of God, you ought to jump up and down and say amen out loud before you hit the ground. Because if you love Him, because He first loved you. My friend, do you have experience with the Holy Spirit? That's the earnest of your inheritance. That's like wearing the engagement ring. It's just a foretaste of things that are ahead. The gift of eternal life. You say, nobody ever gave me anything. How about the gift of eternal life? How about the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ? How about loving the Word of God? This bores a lot of people. A lot of people bring me a Bible, Let me have something exciting. My friend, what could be more exciting? The inspired Word of God, He wrote Himself. And not only that, He gives the Holy Spirit. When we read it, if we get on our knees and pray, help us understand it. If you don't understand the Bible, you need to get on your knees and read it a little bit better. But don't feel bad if you can't understand the whole thing. That's what runs on Ricky Holmes crazy. He can't understand everything he reads. So Ricky, nobody does. So just keep reading. Get what you can out of it. And I'll say the same thing to you. Anyway, what a generous God we have. Remember, my friend, that the most important blessings, again, are spiritual blessings. If you look at the Lord's model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, there's only one request for material things. Give us this day our daily bread. That's legitimate. Everything else is a spiritual request. Everything else is a spiritual request. I'm going to give you a book now. I keep doing this. Most of you don't ever read them. But if you want to read a really, really great book on prayer, get The Gleanings from Paul by Arthur W. Pink. You can get it off almost nothing now. There's so many used copies available. You probably get it off the internet, print it off if you wanted to. The Prayers of Paul. And Pink made this statement that most of Paul's prayers were for spiritual blessings for the children of God, because he knew they far transcended the material blessings. I'll just read you one of them. Let's go over to the Ephesian letter for a minute. I'll read you two of them. They won't take me a minute to read these. Great sermons can be preached on all of these. In fact, more than one sermon can be preached on either one of these. But just give you an example. What did Paul want for the people that he loved? If what we all want for each other are spiritual blessings. Okay, Ephesians 1. Amazing prayer. I won't be able to comment on it very much. Maybe you can chew on this today. It'd be a great thing to do. Ephesians 1, beginning of verse 15. I want to read two of Paul's prayers, one from Ephesians 1, one from Ephesians 3, to give an example of what I'm talking about. Wherefore I also, Ephesians 1:15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love of all the saints, cease not to pray for you, to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul, what are you praying for us about down here at Ephesus? You and I pray for each other. We pray for each other. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being opened, enlightened. You may know what's the hope of His calling. What the riches of the glory of His inheritance of the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe. According to the working of His mighty power. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him up from the dead. Set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power, might and dominion. Every name that is named, not only in this world, also in which is to come. Have put all things under His feet, gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now I'm going to give you a suggestion. Why don't some of y'all at least, I know you all won't do it, I'm kind of a pessimist. Why don't some of y'all at least get a hold of that prayer and go over it in your home? See, we got the riches of the Word of God. We read them too quickly. We're trying to learn how to study here on Wednesday nights now. We've had some good Bible studies. I had a bunch of my books last Wednesday night, kind of getting people acquainted with Bible study methods. Don't only read the Bible, study the Bible. We live in a superficial age, folks. You don't need to just whisk through the Bible. One man said this even. He said, somebody said, how many times have you gone through the Bible? And this man made a wise statement. He said, it's not how many times you've gone through the Bible, it's how many times the Bible has gone through you. You know, listen, folks, this qualifies us. It furnishes us every good work. So I just want to encourage you, be deeper. And one way to be deeper is, take that one chapter there. Just read it a few times. Ask God for insight. Go over it. If you need to learn how to study better, I'll help you learn how to study better. Do word studies. That's an amazing prayer right there. I wish I had time to preach that prayer, but I don't. That's an amazing prayer. God will open up our eyes. I heard a sermon not long ago that I preached somewhere else, and I still feel the same way. Listen, it's okay to have some entertainment. It's okay to rent a movie. It's okay to get one on your phone. It's okay to communicate with each other. It's okay to be on Facebook or something like that, but not all the cotton-picking time. Now, let me ask you a quick question. How much time have you spent with God this week? Deep time with God. Were you trying to give me a tip of the hat? Hi, God, I'm glad you're there. I want to be polite to you. That's why we act too much, isn't it? The world is got us on a, what are the things those rats run on? That's why we're running like that, aren't we? Even me, being a preacher, I got to watch it. Slow down, God. Get deep, God. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Just an example about our generous God. I started verse 14 here. For this cause, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. But get this, this is what Paul wanted for them. That He would grant you according to riches of His glory, just like I read over in Philippians. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I like that prayer. Just that one verse. I'm not going to quit here. I need strength inside. I need spiritual strength. I feel real weak sometimes. I feel in despair sometimes like you do. I get overwhelmed sometimes. I need strength in my inner man. And Paul prayed for that. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Now let's look at this. May be able to comprehend. God wants you to know this. With all saints, with the breadth and the length, and the depth and the height to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that he may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then he wasn't ready to quit yet. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, Well, that is amen. That, find me that song about the love of God. What number is that love of God? Let's read that last verse. Let me read this to you again while you're finding it. Maybe able to comprehend with all saints what the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. Isn't that something? To know the love of Christ with passive knowledge. My friend, God loves you more than you can imagine. What number? 56. That's it, probably. I remember one time, man, the first time I heard this, I couldn't believe this. I heard a man named C.E. Smith preach. He had a great preacher. You remember him? C.E. Smith. He had a powerhouse. He's a strange old man, a computer old man. Had a photographic memory. And one time I heard him, he quoted this verse. I thought he made it up. He didn't. But I like came out of my seat, man. My friend, you cannot overdescribe the love of God Almighty. You need to know. I want you to know He loves you. If you love Him, if you don't love Him, I'm not going to say that. If you love Him, in the faint love, because He loved you first. That ought to do something for you. That ought to draw us to Him in love, to respond to His love, what it ought to do. And not serve God because I got to, serve God because I want to, because He loved me and He's been so good to me. Now, this verse, I tell you, this is an amazing verse. This is an amazing verse. Could we with ink the ocean fill? Were the skies of parchment made? Every stalk on earth a quill. Every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above. Would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, the stretch from sky to sky. That's Almighty God's love for us. A generous God, He generous with His love, isn't He? He generous with His love. Alright. Now, let me give you a couple of Old Testament places to show you. I just love these. Let's go over to Kings a little bit. Let's go to 1 Kings first of all. And just amazing. I got all kind of examples. I won't give them all today. About God's amazing generosity. Let's go to 1 Kings, then we'll go to 2 Kings. Over to 1 Kings. And God can take care of you in those unusual ways. When you get to the end of your life, you're going to look back and see the way the Lord led you. You're going to be amazed. I've known several people who died. They're amazed. My daddy's one of them. He's one of them. Daddy had a hard life. He had a heart attack 7 years before he died. He had a lot of sorrow. He lost my mama. He had a lot of sorrow. But at the end of his life, all he talked about was he knew he had died of congestive heart failure. He was just amazed. I cannot believe, looking back at my life, how good God had been to me. I suspect you'll be in the same condition. You may not see it now, but I think you'll see it then. Lord, you preserved me from this. You preserved me from that. You blessed me to repent here. You forgave me here. You gave me strength here. You gave me a friend here I needed here. You gave me a way I didn't know even existed. So anyway, here's some unusual ways. I'm going to tell you over in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, there's two unusual ways I want to show you. But one of the unusual ways in Kings was God fed Elijah. Now, another good book, read these books. You all start reading now. You don't, it's your own fault. They're good books. The Life of Elijah by the same Pink. The Life of Elijah, one of the best books I've ever read. Right? Okay. My friend Elijah was, you know, how he had to challenge Ahab, had to go out and hide in the wilderness. And God fed him in the wilderness. You know how He fed him? He by the brook Cherith, by a brook, drinking water. He fed him by ravens, an unclean bird. And those ravens brought him meat every day. I don't know what kind of meat it was. It probably wasn't hamburgers. But yeah, I wish it had been, with mustard on. But he fed him. And you know, when God got ready for him to move, you know what he did? Because see, sometimes God wants you to move, and you don't want to move. I'm talking about maybe in a job or location. Just we need to be sensitive to God. He dried the old brook up. And so he had to get out of there. Sometimes God dried our brooks up. We may think it's a disaster, but it's not a disaster. God just leading us. So he fed him with a raven. He fed him with a brook. Well, let's look at what else happens. He got to go now after the brook. So what am I going to do? Let's read there in verse 7 of chapter 17. This is 1 Kings 17:7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. What's he going to do now? Well, God's going to tell him what to do. It's going to be very unusual. And the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, get thee up to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there, behold, I have commanded a widow woman that is to stay me. A widow woman? She hadn't got anything. She's a widow woman. How's she going to stay me? My friend God used unusual methods, doesn't he? So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. He called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Not much water left. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. He's really hungry. And she said, as the Lord my God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil on a cruse. Behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son. We may eat it and die. We're going to eat one more meal. We're going to die, me and my boy. How's God going to take care of her? Curtains. How are you going to take care of Elijah? And Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as I said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Oh, he's kind of selfish. No, she might have thought that, but he had a reason for this. And bring it to me. And after that, make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days. Isn't that amazing? And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake to it by Elijah. Now, she'd have probably liked to have that barrel full, wouldn't she? And that cruse full, God, he didn't do it that way. He said, as long as you're obeying me, there'll be enough oil in that thing, and that cruise enough oil, and enough build the barrel to sustain you. They obeyed God, and God took care of them. Now, let's go also to 2 Kings, I'll be through here, chapter 4. This is just beautiful. There are a lot of lessons here. A lot of lessons here. Okay, 2 Kings, let me see over here what I've got. Okay. Interesting. Let's just start in verse 1. Several lessons here. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets, saying unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be a bondman. That's a bad day, wasn't it? For your own boys going to be slaves, because you more or less got to, that's what you got to pay them with. Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And we just got to do what we got. There's a lot of us here. We got to just use what we got, not what we don't have. So she said, what you got here? She said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. That's all I got. Then he said, go borrow these vessels. Now get this. This is something important here. This kind of fits in my sermon. Oh, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Get this one. Borrow not a few. You got that? If she really believed him, she'd have borrowed more. She borrowed some. I'm fit to read this to you. I love that expression. I'm telling you, folks, bar not a few. We got a great God. Ask him to give you a great faith. And when thou cometh in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee, upon thy sons, shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. He said to her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. So anyway, they took the oil and they fed, they sold that, and they got her out of debt. But my friend, the point is, don't you think that woman would thought, I wish I had borrowed more vessels. So when the vessel ran out, the oil stayed. So we need to ask God to give us a great faith. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Now, friends, listen. I'm telling you, you cannot give God. You cannot give God. He'll bless us according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's not only our money. But kids, you learn how to use money right, kids. I'm like the parents I'll be teaching you. You need to learn how to give the house of God and to poor people and don't set all your money yourself. It's fun to have discretionary income. And that, God, listen, he gives us richly all things to enjoy. I'm glad he does. But we still need to have our priorities right. So even it's good to train our children while they're young and ourselves to live those kind of lives of giving lives. You really cannot give God. I can tell you a lot of stories. I won't do it today. But Jenny and I can tell you story after story after story after story about our great God. You cannot give him. I expect we'll be on our deathbed saying, Lord, you brought me all the way. Hallelujah.